News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, here we go. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Sean in for Dalton.
Yeah, you almost forgot his name. Yeah, Dalton. Remember that guy?
He's been gone for a while.
Yeah,
I was gone last week. Now he's gone this week. Mm-hmm. My marriage can't survive that way.
Listen, I mean, y'all are going to have to have a...
counseling?
We'll play Reunited. starting on Monday with y'all.
It'll be good to have Dalton back. He's away with the family, vacationing. Good for him. Just want to mention this real quick, Sean. Maybe you can say something about it, because I'm a little... I don't know. I'm happy that the event is happening, certainly. Zach, my stepson that helped raise, passed away 2 years ago, about 2 years ago to the date, actually. Last year, his classmates at McGill had an event.
It was a great event.
Great event. It's a fundraiser. Oh, boy, you met about a million people that you knew there.
Yeah, sure did.
I thought that was pretty cool. You walked in, next thing I knew... You knew a lot of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, it was a very nice event, and they're going to have it again downtown Cedar Club, I believe is where it's going to be.
Cedar Street Social Club, yeah.
And so anyway, it's a fundraiser. The money goes to McGill Tulane. That's where Zach played football, graduated. That's where he walked the halls. And so the money goes there. And we're trying to get to a goal of money raised, a certain goal, and we've done really, really well to this point, but still more to do. And so, if you want to be a part of this event, you can go online. It's called Toast to Legend. Now, maybe you can explain better than I can, Sean, why Zach is being characterized as a legend, but
sure.
I'm not doing that. His classmates are.
And he was, but you know, I think that's what you see too, because even before, before ending up as a top operator and Navy SEAL defending our country, he was thought of that way. You know, in high school, whether it be in class or football, he was already kind of legend status there. So, I mean, it's surprising because the number of people that get to that point and serve our country in that way is very, 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 very small.
Yeah.
But he was kind of tracking that way when he was just in high school.
Yeah, I have stories younger than that, even examples of Zach just kind of bulldozing his own path for sure.
Right.
But it was really, really, really cool when we went up there this past weekend. And
you went up to
Virginia Beach and to Damneck, which is completely like it's off the grid. You can't get in there unless you have all kinds of security clearance. And went there for a memorial or a remembrance. Jimmy, one of his teammates on the SEAL team, on the silver team, he said it best. We were cleared to go upstairs to where that particular SEAL team has their meetings and organizations and all, and where they plan and plot. So you got these four different alignments, I guess you would say, but you have silver and green and blue. I don't forget anyway, there's four in all. So silver team, Zach was part of silver team, and they, Jimmy said, you know, there's so many people on this base, like thousands. He said, there's only 100 of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was quite a statement. Like, gosh, you know, now there's probably 2,000 SEALs maybe, but he wasn't bragging. He was just trying to explain things.
Yeah.
So there's only 100 of us, and what does that say?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's you're talking about, you know, going through, I mean, the narrowest of straits to become to become that. But yeah, already tracking as a legend. So that's why I think his high school friends come out for him just as well as his team members from Team 6 do the same. So so that event starts what time?
2 o'clock till 6. And it's you can find out more online. You can go to the Downtown Alliance. They've got it posted there. Also, if you just
cool event, y'all. Yeah.
It is a cool event, and you could see how much his classmates thought of him. One thing about Zach, too, that was really interesting, Sean, you'd find this interesting, I know, but he would come back, you know, he was still on a daily text, a group text of about six of those classmates, daily. Their lives went in whatever direction.
Right.
His life went somewhere completely different, and yet he was still yoking it up and joking it up with these guys. And also, when he would come back, then he'd go out to see his classmates, and it seemed to grow and grow. Like Zach would be out with five guys. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, when he came back, there'd be 10 of them going out. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, there'd be 20 of them meeting at Callahan's. He didn't kick anybody off the bus. It was like, hey, if you're a friend and you can come out. And I'm sure he told a couple of stories or so, but mostly he just, what the classmates tell me was, he was like, how are you doing? What's up with you? Tell me about your family and all that, because Zach, you know, he never married, didn't have a family.
Right.
Now, he was getting very close with Maria, but that's another story.
Well, and two things there, with some level levity, as the Irish will do on things, there are two things that were going on. Number one, they wanted to be with Zach, and number two, they did have families, and the guys wanted to get out of the house.
There's something to that, because some of them had
to go, hey, my friend's back. You can't say no to this one, honey.
That you are nailing it on that. And they got the hall pass, and then they completely misbehaved with it. You know,
no.
These things never happen. 2 o'clock or something.
These things never happen. You said something about being in that room at Damneck. I thought about this yesterday, as it was pointed out by our friend and Marine Tom Claxton.
Yeah,
as we were sitting in the wardroom aboard the USS Alabama, and because now we used to do the show from the Fantail,
right?
But with the Teak project,
right,
we're off the Fantail right now. They're laying down the new Teak, and if you didn't hear yesterday's show, the items from the reclaimed Teak from the deck of the Mighty A will show up on their website starting next week, and then you can start buying them coming up the following week on the 12th of June. But we're sitting in that wardroom, and Tom Claxton says, "Sean," says, "Hey, Sean." I said, "Yeah, Tom," because we were on there. He said, "Think about the conversations that went on in this wardroom aboard the Alabama." Think about that in World War II, and the conversations and the planning and all that was going on in active war. That we're sitting in that same room aboard the USS Alabama, and I had never thought about it that way, because we've been in the wardroom for the last three shows from down there since they started the Teak project and moved us off the Fantail, and. It really sunk in. I sat there for a second, kind of, for the opening of Midday Mobile started, and I was sitting there. I was kind of taking it in. I said, "You know, it's something to be sitting in that room." I have that same reverence when you're on a Civil War battlefield. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Cameron Smith yesterday, who just got back from France. He went to Normandy. You stand on the beach.
Wow.
There. You know, that's coming up next week.
Yeah.
Anniversary of the D-Day invasion. You get in those places and you stand there and you kind of soak it in and what happened before. And you do that here in historical sites, something Civil War like Fort Gaines or Fort Morgan. You stand at historical markers here. You can stand at Fort Mims and think about what happened there in the start of the Creek Indian War. Those kind of things, if you stop and get quiet for long enough and soak those things in, I think it brings... to me, it brings a better perspective and maybe a peace long term to be there and realize what has gone before you, that you're not the penultimate of everything, that there are so many, you're standing on the shoulders of so many that made such great decisions and bravery to have you be able to stand there in their footsteps then. So it's a special thing.
It is. And I think if you don't do that, you've missed an opportunity to gain some perspective, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what, and I try to, and it's tough. It comes later, I think. And I thinking about, a forced command performance for the kids to put them on some of the Civil War battlefields I did growing up, and get them some perspective there. But yeah, usually for me, it was by the time you get in your 20s and so, and maybe later, you start to appreciate that at a higher level. And every decade that goes by, I think you get more and more appreciative of those that came before you and what it means.
And so this event is on Saturday. It's at Cedar Street Social Club, which is changed a little bit from last year, but it's again 2 to 6. If you just Google Zach Miller Toast of the Legend, you'll see about tickets and all that kind of stuff.
Leanna, probably if we can get a link up there, we can put it up on our Facebook page.
Sure,
because Leanna is a master of all things social media for us, so we can put that up, and y'all can go to FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook and find that link.
And I'll say this too: seeing Jimmy, one of Zach's teammates, having dinner with him and his family on Friday, just the way a number of the SEALs opened their arms when they saw me, they were ready to comfort me, and I still need to be comforted a little bit for sure. But time is healing things, and that's the way it should be. I was also very glad to be at the Memorial Day service at Magnolia Cemetery on Monday. Pete Ream emceed that event, and that was good to be at. There's just things that are healing for me right now, and for many of you who've been listening to the station, you know, you were. We kind of all went through it together, mm-hmm. and live on the air, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you all for your kindness and your prayers and all of this. But it's getting to the point where I am realize with certainty that Zach is gone. I realize with certainty that the SEALs and his team, they had to quickly move on. Although they miss him terribly every day, they had a job to do. And I came back to FM Talk 106.5, and even as poorly as I did it, I had a job to do, and that's what you do. But if you want to be part of the event on Saturday, we'll get that link up. Sorry, I'm a little less organized than I should be on this, but thanks for your kindness and your prayers.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll see Saturday.
It's fun.
You had a good time. You had a very good time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's how could you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. 18 after 8 o'clock now on FM Talk 106.5. I know you've got to go here in a little bit. I want to get to this story with you in
okay.
studio about the Los Angeles Dodgers. And
okay.
It's not good. It's not good. It's another one of these missteps trying to be... culturally correct in the moment, I guess.
Oh, 18, boy.
Yeah, imagine that. 18 after 8 to Dan and Sean, FM Talk 106.5. Give us a text. Give us a call. Thank you for the nice text on the Ascension Technologies text line, 251-343-0106. Appreciate that. A lot. 823. LA Dodgers and facing some backlash for the decision. So they're going to have a pride night. Now, June is pride month now, right? So it's the whole month.
So the word is, yes.
So they're going to have a pride night on June 16th. All right. Now, it's one thing to have pride night and you say, okay, let's have pride in, you know, gay, lesbians, LGBT plus. But they're having this group that is called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and
order is that?
They dress up like nuns.
Oh my God.
They're mocking the Catholic Church. They're going to be honored on the field by the Dodgers on June 16th. It's kind of like, okay, one thing, okay, pride,
okay, yeah.
This is kind of a perversion of all that while you're mocking Christianity or the Catholic faith.
Did the person that decided the Mulvaney can for Bud Light get a new job with the Dodgers in the promotion office?
So then they quickly...
That's just stupid. It's not even a question about, you know, LGBTQ or whatever. That's being tone deaf is what that is.
We're to the point where we don't realize the tone deafness on that side of things. It's like, don't be tone deaf the other way. So they're going to give these folks their platform. Anyway, they're a ridiculous looking crew of people who dress like nuns. And of course, perpetual indulgence. We get it. So Clayton Kershaw is a star pitcher for the Dodgers. And he's not happy about it.
Imagine. I think there's a lot of just fair-minded people. It's not like you have to be radical to say this isn't right. I think just normal people say, why?
And why would the Dodgers, why do you have to celebrate people who are, their whole thing is mocking
Catholicism
or Christianity?
How is that furthering, let's talk about it pragmatically.
Please.
If somebody can help me, if you're gay and you're listening, tell me your opinion. How does that help?
Anything.
Promote? Has it helped as a PR move?
No, it's bad. There's probably many.
That is tone deafness, big time.
So Kershaw says, I think we're always going. So anyway, they're going to have Christian Faith Day. So they came out with that like on the heels of this. They were going to bring on the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for the team's Pride Night, and then they uninvited them, and then they got so much backlash. from certain groups for uninviting them, they went ahead and said, after much, this is the Dodgers, after much thoughtful feedback from our diverse communities, honest conversations within the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, and generous discussions with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Los Angeles Dodgers would like to offer our sincerest apologies to them.
But did they do they need to go crowdsource this before they find out that it's probably not a great idea? Yeah, they'll do this like, oh, well, now that we've heard from our consumers.
Well, they've heard from consumers to get them back on the program. So the people, the backlash was when they uninvited them. And now they're like, oh, our bad. We don't want to
really,
get...
Really? Was it from the... I mean, do you think the average Dodger fan thought that having this lampooning of the Catholic Church was the... I mean, really, the average Dodger fan?
So,
no, it's probably Squeaky Wheels that did that.
Yeah. Yes. And so Kershaw says, I think we're always going to do Christian Faith Day this year, but I think the timing of our announcement was sped up. Picking a date and doing those different things was part of it as well. So when they came back out, and then they immediately came out and said, oh, by the way, we're going to have Christian Faith Day in July. That was to kind of like take care of that backlash.
Okay, so this is happening, you know, with, like I talked about, Bud Light. So Bud Light comes out with a camo can, right, after their Mulvaney can. And then they say they're going to do this. Part of the proceeds go into Folds of Honor, which is a great veterans charity out there.
Right.
They should have done that in the first place.
Yes.
Okay, they should have done that in the first place, let alone in a reaction. Now it's the pendulum swinging back and forth and back and forth, because what the business should do is business.
Yes.
Bud Light should sell beer.
Yep.
Dodgers should have a baseball team that's entertaining.
Yep.
Right? And so people can buy beer while watching the game, versus wading off into things. Now they're going to react and back and forth and back and forth. I just don't know who in the front office, though, in the first place said, you know, do pride thing, whatever. But hey, in doing this, let's mock, you know, a greater part of Los Angeles, I'm sure, is Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Christian
many,
at all.
You know. Many of their fans are Latino.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So there you go. A lot of Catholics. So who in the front office said, yeah, let's go. Let's green light that. Yeah, Bob, that looks good. Let's do that.
So Kershaw is a practicing Christian. I don't believe he's Catholic, but he says, I don't agree with making fun of other people's religions. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. I just don't think that no matter what religion you are, you should make fun of somebody else's religion. So that's something I definitely don't agree with.
Well, I think you have as an individual citizen, you have the right to do that all day. And I can, I mean, that's the beauty of our country. You can lampoon and do that. But the Dodgers are a business.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And now they're, oh, I'm getting backlash. Well, you're an idiot. You made a bad decision.
Kershaw said it was tough to see videos of the way the group portrayed Christianity, and that the Christian Faith and Family Day announcement was his idea. So the Dodgers actually weren't even proactive with that end of it. It was Kershaw himself. He says, as a team between my wife and I, and different people that I respect, we talked about the right response to this. It's never an easy thing because I felt like it elicited a response. So anyway, it's Kershaw himself who has come forward, and now the Dodgers are responding with this Christian Faith Night. So that wasn't even going to be on their original calendar, but it was after what they've done. And if you see a video of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I've only seen one. One was enough. They get their point across. They are mocking the ladies who have a faithful life as Sisters of Mercy or nuns of any kind.
Listen, there's plenty of people that are agreeing with us. Supermom said, Google the Sisters of Indulgence. They're mocking Christianity is just vulgar. I'm no prude, but they go way beyond belief.
Right.
But there are people say, well, you know, the Catholic Church and all this. Well, once again, if you want to mock them and do something like that, as a citizen, I'm a civil libertarian. Yeah. I'll defend your right to do it all day long. But for the Dodgers to do it and then go, oh, why are people mad? Well,
yeah.
Dum-dums?
Yes.
Dum-dums.
Yes.
That's a technical term.
8:30, going to talk with Rob from Lanyap on the way. Minus Dalton. Heck, it's just me. We'll get hooked up with Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile. We'll talk to Rob about the current issue of Lanyap, what they've got going on there, with some things they're working on and investigating. It's 8:33. A lot of reaction on the text line to our conversation about the Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Maybe we'll get to that before the before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Rob Holbert is with Lanyap Mobile, and he joins me on the line right now. Rob, good morning.
Morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Doing good. Just in the nick of time. I'm all alone here, so I'm a little disheveled, but I think we got it now. So me and you, let's talk about what's going on around town, including, well, if it's going on around town, it's in the pages of Lanyap, and it's also online. That's the best way to go is get your Lanyap online, and then you've got it all the time, right?
That's right. That's right.
Kind of like a perpetual news cycle. What are some of the headlines that have got your attention, Rob? Some of the stories that seem to be most compelling to you? There's a lot here.
Well, we got this week, our cover story is about what's going on down in Orange Beach with the school system again. There was a public meeting this past week that was, I guess, was supposed to really be sort of a community meeting brought together by parents, ended up being chaired by the mayor, which seems kind of unusual. Instead of being chaired by the superintendent of schools, Mayor Tony Kennan showed up and kind of ran the thing. And a lot of parents were there, were complaining about it, and just felt like weren't very many answers. He cut people off. There were recordings of parts of it, so they didn't allow the media in, but we did see video from it, and it just you kind of gets back into the whole issue of whether they're what's going on with the school system there. A lot of parents were upset with some of the lack of electives. They're upset with a number of things. People are asking about whether the school system was going to pay the state the money it owes it. These are issues that just they really wouldn't deal with at the meeting.
Refresh us, Rob, if you would. The school system, the city gave birth to the school system in, it's like having a baby in a cab. I mean, it kind of happened. it kind of happened pretty quickly, and then suddenly, pow, there you have it. Recall those events, if you can, Rob, just to refresh everybody
how it happened. They voted. There was originally, I'm trying to remember the date, it was a few years ago, there was an attempt to form a school system back then, and it became evident that the system would end up owing the state money because there's a program that every school system has to be involved in, and it really, because Orange Beach has pretty low number of students and high property taxes, it creates a circumstance where they would end up owing the state money through that program. And so it died then. It came back up a year ago, and it was voted on extremely quickly without any comment from the audience.
Right.
Got pushed through. School system began, and this issue came back up again. And the city has... Well, the school system has really not answered the question of how they plan to deal with it. It's about $4.5 million that they're short, and they won't explain it, and that's really where it ends up at this point. And it always kind of devolves back to whatever line of demarcation there is between the city and the school system. It always seems sort of obliterated by the mayor. He just sort of takes over and says, it's our school system, just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of what he tells everybody, don't worry about it. You got to trust us to take care of it.
Right. And I'm trying to be fair to Mayor Kennan here, but I think that I think when he was on with Jeff Poor, he even said it's complicated. Like, we don't have time.
Sure, I'm sure it is complicated.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is complicated. But because something's complicated, that doesn't mean as a public official you get to tell everybody, don't ask about it, don't. You can't have any answers about it. I think that's the problem that exists at this point over there. Is it just there's no transparency in terms of what they're attempting to do. One of the school board members told us this week that there's hopefully going to be some sort of resolution to it in the next couple months, but they still don't really know. Nobody will say exactly what it is that's going to happen.
Right. And again, I think you're right. I mean, there's just a so now parents of the of students in the school system have got their own grievances, correct, about curriculum?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you're always going to deal with that. I mean, again, to be fair to them, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are very happy with the school system. I'm not trying to portray it as everybody in the world
sure.
is unhappy with it, but there are parents who are unhappy with certain issues. One of the things that also came up was a very well thought of coach and teacher who was abruptly fired, and that came up in the meeting, and it was something that, you know, the mayor just shut down very quickly. And, you know, it gets into the issue again of, you know, why is a mayor running a school board meeting? You know, why is the mayor doing that? There's a school superintendent. That's really who should run these things, not the mayor of the city. But that's kind of how things go in Orange Beach, is that Kennan appears to sort of take control of almost everything.
And if I remember correctly, the school board was chosen. They were handpicked by the city council, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
All right.
That is correct.
Okay, so let's move closer to Mobile. I went out to the airport not long ago just to kind of take a look and see what was going on, just take a look-see, right? And Avello Air has got their terminal there for right at the end of Michigan Avenue, and another terminal is, I guess, set to be built. Chris Curry with the Mobile Airport Authority was our guest yesterday. He talked about 2025 being a time when they hope to open that airport. Avello Air took to the skies yesterday going to Orlando, and now they're going to be flying on Thursdays to Orlando and on Sundays back from. What do you think the prospects are of this being a success? It's about 160 to 180 passengers seats are available with each flight.
I think you got to give it a shot, and I think that's the big thing. You know, bring in low cost carriers is going to be important, I think, to bringing people into Mobile. To fly out of Mobile, that's been the issue all along. When you look at what was happening and why we've chosen to build a new airport, you know, the concept has been, okay, well, you know, prices are too high in Mobile, therefore we're building a new airport because we're going to hopefully attract low-cost carriers to get people to come to fly out of Mobile. I mean, if people are willing to drive an hour away to go to the airport somewhere else because it's cheaper, they probably would have been willing to drive out to West Mobile for the same thing. But, you know, I think the idea is that this will help attract more of those carriers. And so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully people will use it. And, I mean, if they don't, then obviously it won't last.
$29, they have this fare going on right now.
It's a pretty good price, that's for sure.
That is a really good price. So, you know, it's kind of like if this doesn't work, you know, what would, obviously. But Avello Air, they had their director of communications was in studio with us yesterday as well. He seems very upbeat about the whole thing and thinks that the response has been pretty good. And so at this point, we'll see. What is your vision overall for that airport and its location? I was really struck by this, Rob. I left the airport and kind of meandered out of it. I got to it via the interstate and Michigan Avenue exit. I left the other way. I left kind of going Broad Street downtown, and I was at the corner of Broad and Government. It seemed like 9-10 minutes or so. So if you're trying to connect the airport to downtown, as in business, as in hotel rooms, to me that looks like quite a success.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I lived in D.C., I loved flying out of Reagan because it was downtown, you know, and you're home in 15 minutes. I think for those of us who live in Midtown, those of us who work downtown, it's great. I think for people out in West Mobile, it's a longer drive. But, you know, the main thing, again, is just, yes, it will be new. Yes, there will be, you know, it is convenient in terms of getting off the interstate. main issue, I think, for everybody that's been proven over and over again here is just, is it price effective? And if it is, then I think it's going to be a place that people use. But you've got to make sure that we have the carriers that can bring a lower cost tickets to people. I mean, we did a story years ago, and we watched plane ticket prices in Mobile versus other airports for months. And, you know, it really wasn't a major difference until it got close to time to fly. Now, we haven't done that in a long time, but it wasn't really, really a main difference, a big difference, until it got closer. And then the prices got to be pretty different. You know, so if you don't have somebody to compete with Delta, if you don't have somebody to compete with those big carriers, then I think it's going to be more or less the same thing, right?
Yeah, and I also think that, Baldwin County plays a role in this now, because Baldwin County, I guess, almost uniformly, they would go to Pensacola, or it seemed to me that that'd be where they were going. Now, with this airport basically just right across the bay, you take the Bayway, and you're at Michigan Avenue in about 10 minutes from leaving Daphne. Business should be brisk out of Baldwin County, should it not?
Well, Dan, is what we've seen all along, is that people will drive they'll drive an hour or two to get a cheaper plane ticket. So it's going to boil down to cheaper plane tickets, I think, more than the location. I mean, if it's equidistant between going to, I guess if you're in Daphne, it's closer, but if you're down at Gulf Shores, is it going to be much different than going to Pensacola or going to Mobile? If the prices are very different, I suspect people are going to go to the one that has a cheaper plane ticket.
One more story here before we let you go, Robin. Thanks for your time this morning. As I'm all lonesome here by myself here at the studios, and I'm not used to that. So baby in the corner here. I hesitate to use the word mastermind when it comes to this story about the Walmart fires. I guess one guy, Sykes, proclaimed to be the mastermind of all of this. What a bizarre story. And obviously, there was danger involved, too. I mean, you're setting a store, setting fires inside a number of Walmarts, I think four in all. That thing's kind of come to a conclusion now. How do you look back at that story? And I guess it was 2 years ago it all happened, right?
Well, it's really a crazy story because, you know, we didn't hear a lot of this stuff. I mean, I think most people will remember there were fires set at some Walmarts around here and over on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, you know, I don't think at the time there was a tremendous amount of coverage of who did this or there wasn't much depth about who did it. Scott Johnson went to their hearing this past week, their sentencing hearing, and they've all pleaded guilty. And, you know, the story's just crazy. It's, you know, it's almost like this quasi-cultish community that moved down from Nebraska and to Lillian, and this sort of we're fighting for the proletariat type of thing, the attitude that they're going to go set fire to Walmarts to help Walmart, to make Walmart pay their workers more.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. There's some, this guy supposedly had a garbage recycling machine that he had built, and he managed to bilk some people out of, a good bit of money, millions, I think, people to invest in this contraption that didn't work. And it was supposedly going to turn garbage into crude oil. It all sounds like, I mean, it sounds made up. When you go listen to it, it's just nuts. But, I mean, this guy was like basically like the Jim Jones starter kit.
Exactly.
It just kind of, it was really nutty. I mean, really nutty stuff, and had people under his sway. He was, you know, giving them drugs before they go to set fire to Walmart. He actually had his mistress strap a bomb vest on and start walking to a bank. And it just, it's a great story. If people haven't read it, it's really interesting. Scott wrote a lot about it. Check it out online this week.
And I guess a lot of that came out in court, like things that court is when it all spilled out.
It all came out in court. And I think a lot of, now at the time, these guys were writing some letters to some TV stations, you know, they were furious that they weren't getting any coverage over their demands. And the TV stations weren't giving that any platform as they were setting fires to Walmarts. So, that was an irritation to them. But so this is the first we're really hearing about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Rob, if folks want to subscribe to Lanyap, get it online like I do, let them know what they need to do.
Well, go to lanyapmobile.com. A couple weeks ago, we did about 50 stories that went online. Those are just news stories. We didn't run anywhere near that in the paper. We're really, there's a lot of stuff going on online that you're missing if you're not a subscriber. And it's just $1 for the first month, $6.50 a month after that. You can try it out for a month and cancel it. It'll cost you $1 to give it a try.
Appreciate your time, Rob, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
All right, Dan. Have a great day.
You got it. Rob Hulbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Subscribe. You'll be happy you did. I mean, look, you need the news. There's us. There's Lanyap. There's no other daily paper for sure. It's 850 on FM Talk 106.5 text line, the Ascension Technologies text line, 251-343-0106. Looking at the text line, some of the things we talked to Rob Hulbert about, the Orange Beach school system, etc., the bridge down there in Baldwin County, at the lower end of Baldwin County. And everybody is corrupt, and also it's none of my business. So that's what I take away from the text line. Okay, it's 8:56. Jeff Porcio is on the way. Meanwhile, Leanna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan.
So we've got to tell us some of the things that we are engaged with online with our Facebook page, etc.
Well, we're having a contest for our garden picture for the Bill Finch show.
Yeah, yes.
Plain gardening on the Gulf Coast, and take pictures of your garden,
okay.
Post it up, and you can win one of his plant cycling signs.
Yep.
Jim Cox just posted a beautiful flower. I voted for it
Jim
last
Cox
night.
Jim Cox from high school football?
Yes.
Buddy? Okay.
Yes, your buddy.
All right.
Beautiful flowers, and you get your friends go on and vote for which picture is the best.
Jim Cox is very proud of his lawn. May I say he's probably more proud of his lawn than he needs to be, actually. But
got to have something to do.
So he enjoys that, and he does a good job with his lawn, and is very proud of it. What else we got online?
I also posted the benefit for your son's.
Yeah, thank you.
Memorial for this weekend, and you can find all the information there at our Facebook post, and you can actually go to the memorial. Facebook page for Zach,
okay.
Talking about his legacy, and they're raising money and the cause.
For McGill Toolin, yes. I remember years ago, I met your little Zach.
Yes.
Right? And do you remember that?
I remember bringing the kids up there.
Was he playing with a truck or something like that? Anyway, he was just all boy. And I said, I've got a Zach. And he looked at me like, well, where is he? I said, well, he was expecting him to be a little, like, I've got a Zach. He thought, you have your own 5-year-old Zach. I said, no, he's not five. But how's he doing?
He's doing great. I remember when I left that building and went home, my son was like, so that means I can't ever see Dan again? I can't play with him again?
Oh, once you weren't working with us anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell him that if he looked just a little bit into the future, he would see that I was given the same treatment in 2021. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for
the
work you do behind the scenes, obviously. We appreciate you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
8:59, just about, on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porcio is next on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings back in the morning with yours truly and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Norwood all this week.